5G. Robust 5G cell phone service is one way Governor Ned Lamont wants to attract more business and jobs to Connecticut. But some worry the governor's push to adopt this cutting-edge technology is happening too fast without weighing a variety of concerns. Now, 5G stands for fifth generation of cellular phone networks, just like 3G brought texting, 4G brought video streaming. 5G promises another quantum leap, mega speed, and bandwidth. Well, joining us as he does each and every first Friday of every month is from NBC Connecticut. In fact, it's more than just that. It's chief investigative reporter.
There you go.
Len Bestoff. Len, good morning, brother.
How are you? And so glad you have us on here.
Let me tell you, this is one of my favorite segments. Because you know why, Len? Because I feel you give us a scoop before it actually hits the airwaves. I think you give our listeners a little teaser, just enough to wet their whistle where they're going to want to tune in for when you actually have the broadcast for these investigative stories that you do.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I like to give you guys a head start.
You do. That's why we love, our audience loves it too, and then we know that because we hear back from them. They call us, and they email us, and they Facebook us. Saying,
excellent,
that was awesome. You got to have that guy on more often. I mean, I remember getting those months ago, and I'm like, we'll make him a regular then.
Tell him to send us their tips.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so 5G, it shouldn't be controversial because 3G wasn't, and 4G really wasn't, but 5G, for some reason, is. Let's go into that a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot there, Gary. One of the big concerns has been this rollout and how fast it's happened. The governor, in his wisdom, some says we've got to get more business in this state. So, of course, he's tried transportation. He's tried a number of other, different kinds of programs. And one of the other legs of that stool is 5G and saying businesses will want to come here if they know they're going to have very strong phone access where, you know, the phones are robust in terms of they could set up a factory floor that has big bandwidth where they can do all kinds of robotics or even remote robotic surgery in hospitals. And the way this works, it's crazy because even though 5G is for phones, if you have 5G in an office place, even though that's bandwidth and you think that's more Wi-Fi, what AT&T and some of the other carriers are telling us is that 5G, the bandwidth, the size of the pipe is going to be so much bigger than the regular Wi-Fi you have in your house.
So then realistically, you're based on what you're just saying, Len, is that you're going to get greater speed from your mobile device. Even let's say you're sitting in your home and you're sitting on your living room, you're watching NBC Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You've got your mobile device in your hand and let's say you have a laptop on your table that's in front of you using the Wi-Fi that you get in a bundle package with your cable company. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're saying then, based on what you just said, your mobile device under 5G technology is going to be a lot faster, significantly faster, not competitively faster,
I heard
significantly
even as
faster.
As much as 100.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
So why even bother? Well, I don't know. Why bother having even what's called high speed internet in your home?
Well, when it comes to TV, I can get really technical with you, but there's some other advancements coming in broadcasting. It's called ATSC. I don't want to get in all that, but that's a little bit further out where that may even rival 5G in to some regards.
All right, well, again, we won't get into the weeds of that, but let me just ask you one question with that, and then we'll move on. Could that be in the next 12 months?
No.
No, it's further out than that. Okay.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
At least that's what the engineers at NBC Connecticut tell me.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
But 5G, it presents a lot of great opportunities. That's what the Lamont administration says. That's what AT&T and the other carriers are saying. And it may well. But the question is the rollout. How do you get it everywhere it needs to be? And where is everywhere? Well, that's the question. Yeah. For example, with 4G, you know, if you go up into the Litchfield Hills or out into Northeast Connecticut, yeah. your phone service, let alone on 4G, it may be really hard to get a signal at all, even on LTE in some cases.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that some state and local leaders have been questioning with 5G is, yes, go ahead, roll it out quickly if you want to get businesses more attracted to our state. But then there's the question of equality to a degree and the digital divide we hear about a lot. Let's say that kids are at home doing their schoolwork or whatever, and they have 5G access in West Hartford, but they don't have it in Harwinton. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just, again, these are hypothetical.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
Is that really fair? Are the kids in West Hartford going to be unbelievably advantaged that they can...
There can be an argument made for... Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so one of the things that has been questioned is, where are we going to get this? Are there going to be demands by the state for universal service? And what has happened is, with this fast-track rollout, there are provisions with the governor's office. He has something called a 5G council that is overseeing this rollout to a degree and how it is implemented. However, there are not requirements for these carriers to necessarily be out in the hinterlands. It's essentially the carriers saying, we're going to get out there, we're going to do everything we can to get there. And there's some carrots, but not necessarily sticks involved on the state side.
You know, when I have conversations with people about 5G, there's the people who believe that it can cause tumors or brain tumors and it's unhealthy. And then there's those that think, oh, that's just hogwash. There's no proof that it causes it, but there's no proof that, say, it doesn't cause it neither. Are you hearing any backlash to, you know, this incredible 5G technology?
Yes, we are. Okay. There is a backlash to it. There are groups. There's one prominent one down in Fairfield County called Stop 5G CT. We interviewed them for the story, and there are other groups that have been popping up more recently against 5G, both in Connecticut and across the country.
Right, so, I'm sorry, Stop 5?
Yeah, it's like at sign and then Stop 5G CT. They're on Facebook. That's where we found them.
Okay, all right.
And we interviewed two of their folks, and they cited hundreds. They even said there are thousands of studies that say 5G is dangerous to your health. Many of these studies have been debunked by the WHO, FDA, CDC, according to the state and AT&T. And we've even gotten statements, you can see those on our website, from, I believe it was at FDA, saying a lot of the studies that the anti-5G people cite aren't necessarily valid for one reason or another. Of course, the anti-5G people will say, no, that's not true. And there are even countries like Switzerland where certain cantons in Switzerland, I guess that's the equivalent of a province or a state, have actually said, let's hit the pause button on 5G because we have concerns.
Ooh.
Not the whole country of Switzerland, but some smaller governments. But, you know, even on that, there are varying reports, you know, that we looked into in terms of what exactly is going on. But there are concerns. People have worries because the way 5G works is it's on a higher end, or part, it takes a higher end of the radio spectrum to make it fully implemented. It's using some of the lower end of the radio spectrum. Mm. The higher end of the radio spectrum is still safe. It's not any kind of heavy radiation, according to what the state and the carriers are telling us. However, it requires the implementation of hundreds of what are called nodes, which are cell phone nodes that are lower to the ground. They're usually on the top of utility poles, phone or, power company poles.
Yeah.
And they have to be in areas where they may have dead spots because the higher end of the radio frequency spectrum, it can't go through trees or buildings. So you have to have more of these nodes. And what was done with 4G and 3G, the state required what was called co-location, which meant if you needed a node, well, or the equivalent of such, let's say it was a big tower, which is the way that 3G and 4G are done. They're on higher towers that aren't, you know, in your face necessarily, so to speak. They had to co-locate their equipment on one big tower so that it wasn't everywhere. That is going to happen with 5G, but again, it's sort of like the access. It's not going to be required. It's just going to be something where the state will urge the phone companies to co-locate these nodes. If they don't, you could have nodes everywhere. And that is one of the concerns of the anti-5G people, is we don't really know the health impact. And now we're going to have these things everywhere because they're not going to be required to co-locate as much as we would like. The state says, yes, we will co-locate. And I know I'm throwing a lot of...
Yeah, this is real heavy here.
It's a little deep. But there are concerns about how many of these nodes are going to be out there, where they're going to be, what kind of radiation they put off. Of course, again, the state and the carriers say they're safe.
Well,
people, other people say we have questions.
Len, what I'm concerned about is, listen, there's biases on each side. You know,
certainly.
There's people that say, you know, Coke is better. No, Pepsi's better. it's all subjective, you know. So there's biases that naturally, as human beings, people have. And if they're with AT&T or if they're with this other group, you know, their zeal for, you know, will just seep into what they believe to be truth, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe what we need to do, Christian, is get some of these people in here and have a live, like a mini debate for about 20 minutes or so.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
let's do it.
You get one side, you know, the pro 5G people,
sure,
and the anti 5G people. Yeah, you get one because it's a small studio. You get one on each side,
right?
And then they can we can maybe facilitate their
hopefully
that would be good. That would be pretty good. Here's a question for you though, Len.
Yes.
Who's selling these devices for 5G, and how much could they theoretically cost?
Well, right now, like the 5G rollout is in its very early stages. We interviewed from AT&T said, we're really in spring training. It's not even the first inning yet. It's the same thing with the equipment rollout for your handheld devices. There are a few companies doing it. It's very expensive. I believe only Samsung right now has a 5G. Maybe Apple's there. I'm not sure. But as of when we did this story 2 or 3 weeks ago, Samsung, I believe, was the only one with one. It was like $1,600.
Oh.
But, you know how it works with phones. You're never going out, or rarely, I mean, I can't do it, go out and buy a phone. You're usually getting it packaged with a plan. In all likelihood, the prices are going to come down. But even if you have a 5G phone right now, there are limited places where you can really use it. I mean, it is implemented and up and running down in Bridgeport, parts of New Haven, I believe. AT&T just had an announcement about this. Of course, one of the big things that Governor Lamont did earlier this year was he announced that we're going to get it on all the Metro North trains.
Oh,
so that you're going to have much better service. You know, you have a lot of Wall Streeters and financial folks.
But it's not statewide yet, let alone nationwide.
Negative and negative. Yeah, yeah. Not yet.
How long, by your, based on your investigation, how long will it take for this to be as typical as or as ubiquitous as 4G?
A while. I would say it's probably a few years.
Oh, really?
Though, yes.
How long has 4G been around? Like, what was the duration of time between when 3G and 4G?
4G, I believe, started in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, and I may have that number wrong because I was hard on 5G here. I was really studying that, to be frank. But 4G sort of brought you that introduction of streaming actually on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it now, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. And 3G, that's when you started really texting.
Because
before that, it was basically you just had your flip phone and you could talk on the phone. Texting was a little bit harder, you know, it just wasn't the same.
Sure.
And so every one of these generations does present a quantum leap. And what the state and these carriers are saying is that it could totally change the way we work. Because, I mean, think about robotic surgeries that are remote.
Yeah.
The problem is that you have to worry about something called latency. You know how sometimes when you click something and maybe it doesn't happen right away on your smartphone?
That's right.
You can't have that with a remote robotic surgery.
Of course,
If you're going to say we're going to stitch this spot on somebody's spleen right now, you got to do it right now or you might bleed out. And again, I'm not a doctor. But, I mean, that's sort of... The hypothetical, but think about that. I mean, we have robotic surgery.
All right, no, of course, right.
And so, you know, like, for example, I lived in Roanoke, Virginia for 6 years. We had a ophthalmologist show up in our town once a month because you couldn't get a doctor. There's just not that density of doctors in rural America. So think about the possibilities. If you can get 5G in more remote locations, you could have a doctor doing a remote surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, when he or she may not ever...
It blows my mind,
right,
Len.
And to be fair to, you know, the state and AT&T and Verizon and the other carriers that are doing this, right now there are, I believe, three. I think it's T-Mobile, AT&T and Verizon. Sprint is a question, I guess, to a degree, because there may be this merger. I don't know what's going on with those guys in terms of if that's going to happen. I can't predict it.
We got about 1 minute.
Okay, but what AT&T said to us in the story, and it really is true, is they don't have any idea how far people are going to go with this. In terms of, think of 4G with video streaming. Think of the apps that weren't around.
That's right.
Before 4G.
Oh,
and what AT&T
and
Verizon and the others are saying is, we don't know what 5G could bring you, but it could bring you a lot. And we don't even know what it is. You're going to get those smart kind of tech-savvy people.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to figure out ways to use this extra bandwidth to create a business. And isn't that what we're all about?
Of course.
Right?
Well,
is, you know, progression. And
that is an incredible report. An incredible. All right. So in 30 seconds or less, what are you working on? We'll see, of course, in first Friday of April.
Yes.
What are you working on between now and then that maybe you can just give us a 15-second teaser of?
Okay. So you know how you always go flying to one part of the country or another to visit Aunt Gussie or go on a business trip, whatever. You have that rough flight here and there.
Oh, yeah.
We got a story about a rough flight that really got the attention of the feds, and it was a rough flight right here to Connecticut about a year ago.
It's just a rough flight. That you're always going to get turbulence. So you can't, that's the air.
Well, when was the last time your wing scraped the runway?
Oh, okay. Wow. Talk about a teaser. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Again, first Friday of every month, Len Bestoff. He is the chief investigative reporter over at NBC Connecticut. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.